But first, refugees from eastern Ukraine are again streaming across the Polish border following the fall of Mariupol and the new Russian offensive in the Donbas. The term war zone has been overused in recent years, but this really is a war zone, and we wanted to get a sense of what it was like for people living through this terrible time in Ukraine and those who've been displaced. Elliot Goodyear is a freelance journalist who has just come back from Ukraine and is doing a podcast and movie on his experiences. And I asked him what made him decide to embark upon this project.
I'd watched a lot of the mainstream coverage of Ukraine, and it looked like most of the reporters were either on top of a building looking over a cityscape or talking to people for about 5 seconds. And you didn't really get an insight into what it felt like to be a refugee. And so our main question was, what's the journey like? And what does it feel like to leave your modern European home and find shelter in the European Union?
So when you got to Europe, you went through Poland to get to Ukraine, and you spent some time around the border areas. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so of the 6 million people displaced from Ukraine, 3 million have gone through Poland. A majority are still in Poland because they want to go back to Ukraine. And so we interviewed people in medic tents, because some people have walked for up to 5 days on foot from Mariupol, which is the most embattled city in the Far East region. And we heard stories like there was a lady who walked for 5 days straight. She'd walked for 5 days straight, and the inside of her legs was so scarred and chafed, and the bottom of her feet was so scarred and chafed that she had to be medevaced from the border point by medics to a local hospital where she had a double amputation. The upshot was that she survived, but these kind of stories aren't out of the blue at all. We also heard of a story from a US medic at the border inside the SFF tent.
What's SFF?
It's an Israeli medic, not-for-profit. And he said that a lady from Mariupol who'd lost her husband, she was 81 years old, lost her husband 2 years before, and with the final money that they'd saved, $21,000, she went up to a Russian soldier and gave him the bag and said, well, she thought to herself, either it's over and I'll get shot and I'll die, or he'll help me. And so he said, I'll be back in 10 minutes, came back with $2,000 and a driver, and managed to find her way to the border. But the touching part is that the Russian soldier gave her a hug and said he wished she could come with her. Wow.
So there's been a lot of harrowing stories then that you've heard. I mean, there's so many people on that border area. Who's looking after them all? Is it all international agencies, or is it Poland? Or
So it's a huge mix. You have lots of young volunteers from Ukraine itself. So males between 8 and 60 can't leave the country because they're a fighting age, but those below or older can come across and they can help. And so we saw in Warsaw Station and at the border huge amounts of translators who are Ukrainians from the ages of like 12 to 17. So they're providing immediate translation help. And so they're assisting people like the World Food Kitchen, who provide extraordinary amounts of food. Everyone who comes across has hot food straight away, and there are shelters, and then there are sort of medic and emergency health organizations who are there providing anything from sutures to removing glass from people's faces to splints, all this sort of thing. But the upside that people shouldn't forget is that for every harrowing story, there are 100 people trying to help. And the Ukrainians themselves are incredibly upbeat because they've just left a war zone and they've found help. So while there are harrowing stories, they're happy that it's not it's over to an extent for them. I mean, the pain remains in Ukraine, but at least they're safe.
And then you moved on into Lviv itself, the Ukrainian western city.
Our experience in Lviv was very different to what we'd had elsewhere. So elsewhere it had been harrowing stories and stories of difficulty, whereas in Lviv itself, there's a real sense of commonality in adversity and people getting on with life, because when you live in a war zone, you can't just stop. I think we learned this during COVID, that if you stop, then the economy dies and people's spirits get crushed. And so on every street corner, you have musicians playing, which is interesting because you'll have you know, a White Stripes song being played against air raid sirens. So it's a really bizarre soundtrack to listen to. But everyone we did meet gave us this insight that you can't stop and you have to continue, which was one of the key things that we learnt as well.
And was there bombs dropping? Did you and aeroplanes overhead and that sort of thing?
So no aeroplanes overhead, but every time a missile enters Ukrainian airspace, air raid sirens go off. And while we were there, we met some Slovakian journalists who we traveled to a missile site with, where about a week before, the Russians had tried to hit a strategic railway site and had missed. And when they missed, they hit the office of an auto shop and killed four people. Mm. And so we saw bombed out cars, rusted to death. There was a huge impact zone. And then next to it was just a small flickering candle, four small flickering candles for those who had died. So, but again, the around that impact site and around those bombed out zones, the auto factory is continuing. So, you know, people don't stop.
Elliot Goodyear, a freelance journalist just back from Ukraine, and check out Rubber Ammo on Spotify or Patreon / Rubber Ammo to find out more about Elliot's reports.